Perek Beis in the Ramchal's Derech Hashem, V'tachlus Habriya. The Ramchal is going to discuss why Hashem created the world. Now, when we say why Hashem created the world, we have to first understand what can't be the answer. Number one, there's clearly nothing in this world that Hashem gains from. Based on what we learned previously about Hashem, Hashem is bilti nitla bezulosoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gains absolutely nothing from anything in the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot change, so he can't gain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already perfect in all ways whatsoever. That means any change in Hashem, chas v'sholem, even if it could be possible, which is not, would be an imperfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need anybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no taivas. Nothing in this world that happens affects HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. Now, whenever we do something for somebody, or we do something at all, we always have a motive. Even when we give tzedakah, and even if we give tzedakah totally out of the goodness of our heart, without any hope or intent that's self-serving, nevertheless, we still have a personal motive. The personal motive could be to get a mitzvah. The personal motive could be because we get a sense of satisfaction. Whatever the case is, whenever a human being does something, he does something with a siba. Hashem, just like he has no siba, he has no siba for things that he does. Meaning Hashem is not forced to do anything. Hashem does not have to do anything. And so, for whatever reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it could not be for the sake of Him. It could not be for any reason whatsoever for HaKadosh Baruch Hu gaining from it. That's what we know, the tachlis of the world cannot be. And now let's see what the Ramchal says the tachlis of the world is. Hine, HaTachlis Babriya, Hoya, the purpose of creation was, Lehetiv Mituvo Yizbarach Shemoy Lezulosai. In order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bestow upon the creation's goodness from Him. The purpose of creation was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do chesed. As it says in the Pasuk, Olam chesed yiboneh. The world is built on chesed. And when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do chesed, again, we mean it's not the same as when we want to do chesed. We want to do chesed because either we get rewarded for it, or because we get a sense of satisfaction for it, or because it gives us a good feeling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say Hashem wants to do chesed, it's a totally different type of chesed. Hashem does not gain anything by it. See, even if theoretically a human being could be on a very high madrega, so that his motives are totally altruistic, nevertheless, he does gain by his chesed. He gains, number one, he did a mitzvah, he gets reward, even if that wasn't part of his motive. Number two, everybody knows that chesed is good for the yishuv ha'olam. He fixed the world a little, he made the world a little better place for people to live, including himself. He improved the situation for him. He fulfilled the social contract in the world that if you're nice to somebody else, maybe somebody will be nice to you. And even if his motives do not involve those factors, nevertheless, he does gain. He's part of a world, and a world has to exist through chesed. Without people doing chesed, without people doing for each other, the world would be a much worse place. And he's part of that world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, when he does a chesed, it's a completely different concept. Hashem does a chesed, Hashem gains nothing from it. It doesn't affect Hashem whatsoever. It does not make the world a better place for Hashem to live. It does not give HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything. Never mind his motives, but the fact, the reality is Hashem gains nothing from it. This is real chesed. We know the difference between a regular chesed and a chesed shalemes. That a chesed shalemes is a chesed that you do for somebody that can't pay you back, such as somebody who is already deceased. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed for people that can't pay him back. Not only can't pay him back, even if they would try, it wouldn't be possible to pay him back. Hashem Kaviyachol, you can speak of it in terms of Hashem having everything already. He needs nothing. And so there is no reason for Hashem to do a chesed except for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum v'chanun. Hashem has, it is toiv, and it's within the character, so to speak. It's within the desire of a toiv to be meitiv, to do good to others. The Sforim say this in different words. Miteva ha-toiv lihi yois meitiv. It's in the nature, and of course we don't mean nature literally, but it's within the tzura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be good to people, to spread the good, because that's part of what being good is. Or Makor ha-toiv roitza lehetiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do good. Why Hashem wanted to do good? That's because He decided to do good. Hashem is good. That's part of His being. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Now, this question of why Hashem made the world, there are several answers in the Sforim. Several. There are few. Three, to be exact. If you want to see them, you could look on Rav Sadia Goin at the beginning of the Sefer Emunos V'Deos, Maimar Aleph, Perek Dalet. We're not going to go into the other reasons, because this is a Ramchal shir, and we're going to stick faithful to the shitas of the Ramchal. And this particular answer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to do chesed, is mentioned by Rav Sadia Goin. And as we're going to see, it's even before Rav Sadia Goin. And it's in many, many Svarim. It's all over the Hasidish Svarim. It's all over the Machshava Svarim. But nowhere is it so greatly discussed and so greatly emphasized as in the Svarim of the Ramchal. In many, many places in the Svarim, he discusses it on different levels and different levels of depth. But is the Ramchal Shita all over that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world lahetiv mituvo yizbarach shemoy lezu losoy, to do good to others. V'hime sire ki hu levado yizbarach shemoy hashlemus ha-amiti ha-meshoyul mikolach esroinus. What is good? When he say Hashem created the world in order to do good, in order to do chesed, what is good? You know, sometimes you can do a chesed for a person that backfires. Or sometimes you can even do a chesed for a person that's not as good as it could have been done. And the question therefore is, what exactly do we mean when we say Hashem wanted to do good? What type of good? Well, we know that there is only one entity in all of reality that is completely good, and that's Hashem. Hashem is completely perfect without any imperfections. There is no perfection in the world similar to Him. As we learned previously, not in quantity, but more than that, even qualitatively, when we say perfection, and we use it to describe something in this world, it's only a homonym. It doesn't describe, it doesn't mean the same thing as when we say perfection when referring to Hashem. V'nimtza, it comes out, shekol shleimus sheyedume. All types of shleimus, all types of perfection, all types of good that you can imagine, chutz mishleimuso yizbarach shemoy, with the exception of Hashem's perfection, hine eineno shleimus amiti. It's not real shleimus. It's not real perfection. El yikore shleimus. We only refer to it as perfection, be'erech el inyin chaser mimeno, relative to something worse. When you say a person has a good situation, what does that mean? That means, could be worse. Or, relative to the people around him, he has a better situation than them. But there's no such thing as ultimate perfect good in the world. Imagine, if you wanted to give a person a perfect life, what would it be? Whatever you would bestow upon this person, it's only referred to as a good life relative to another type of life. But it's not intrinsically good. It's not perfect good. It's not Shlema's good. It's not God good. It's only Olam Hazeh good. Ach HaShlemus Behechlet Einoi Elo Shlemuso Yizbarach Shemoi. intrinsic, absolute perfection is only the perfection of Hashem. So therefore, Al Kain, b'hiyois chetzo yizborach shemoy lehetiv lezulosoy, because Hashem wanted to do good to others, lo yaspik loy b'hiyoisoy metiv ktsas toiv, Hashem would not be satisfied, meaning his will would not be fulfilled, his goal would not be met, if he would only bestow partial good on people. Ela b'hiyoisoy metiv tachlis hatoiv she'efshel abruim she'ikablu. It's not good enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill his goal of being good to people, that he should give them relative good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give them the greatest goods that's possible in all of reality. And since God himself is the only good, only real good, it is not possible for Hashem to fulfill his desire, it is not possible for Hashem to fulfill his desire to bestow good upon people, except and unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bestow upon people the absolute good that is Hashem's essence. Shehu HaToiv HaSholem V'Hamiti, the perfect and true good that exists in Hashem's essence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to kavyochol share the goodness, the perfect and absolute goodness that is his essence. I don't even want to use the words part of his essence, because there are no parts. Hashem wants that the perfection that is him, the perfection that is God, should also be enjoyed by others. Anything less than that, any good or any perfection less than that, would not really be good. When we say the guy has a good life, it doesn't really mean good. It means not as bad as the next guy. Could be better, could be worse. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow good, it means perfect good. And perfect good only exists in Hashem. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and we're going to see how he did this. He created the world with the following goal in mind: to bestow upon others the good that is Hashem's essence, the perfect good. Now, there's a problem with this, because v'hinei mitzar acher, hatoif hazeh yef sheshimotzei eloboi, only God can have this perfect good. We said that one of the things that God cannot do, because the very concept is an absurd oxymoron, is to make another God, that something else should be perfect like him. It is not possible for God to give to somebody else his own essence. Al Kain, therefore, in order to solve this problem, Gozro Chochmosoi Shemetzius HaToivo HaMitis HaZois, the fulfillment of this good, Yihye B'Mashiyitein Mokim LaBruin Sheyizdabku Bo Yizborach Shemoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that the way the creations that he is going to create will be able to enjoy this perfect happiness, this perfect perfection, this perfect goodness, is to connect to Hashem, to become part of Hashem. Ba'oisei Hashir Shef Shalom Sheizdabku, to the extent that they can. Va'oz, and then, Nimtza Shema Shemitzad Atzma Miefsher Sheyitoyeru B'Shleimusa Yizborach Shemoi, even though they themselves can't be described as having Hashem's perfection, Hine Mitzad Hizdab Komboi Yagi Elohem, because they're connected to Hashem, they will have ba'oisa shir she'efsher litoyer b'shleimus ahu mitzad ha'yoisa mistabkin bo yizborach shemoy. They will be able to have this perfection to the extent that they could connect to God. V'yimotsu nehenim ba'toivu ha'amitis ahu, comes out that they will be able to benefit and enjoy this goodness, be'erech she'efsher lehem lihen oisbo, to the extent that this is possible. Meaning, Hashem figures, look, I want to do good to others, so I'll have to create others. I want them to enjoy not merely relative good, not merely some money, not merely a life on the French Riviera, not merely a good cup of coffee. I want them to enjoy the real absolute ultimate good. Now that real absolute ultimate good only exists in Hashem, only exists in me. So how in the world is somebody else going to get it? I can't make other gods. I can't make other Hashems. That's not possible. The phrase another Hashem is an oxymoron. Makes no sense. Cannot be done. So, but what I can do is, I can create finite creatures that are not other gods. But, I have a way. I was soon going to see what that way is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way for those creatures to connect to Hashem. They'll connect to me. They'll plug into me. And to the extent that a finite creature is able to do this, because after a certain point he's not finite anymore. If he could do it absolutely, then he'd be another god, and that cannot be. But to the extent that a finite creature is able to connect to Hashem, this finite creature will be able to enjoy and benefit from the perfection that currently, before Brias Olam, only belongs to God. An amazing thing we have over here. HaKadosh Nimtza, Heyois, Kavanosoi, Babriya, Shibora, Livroi, Mishiyiye, Nehene, Betuvo, Yizborach, Shemoi, Ba'oise, Haderech, Shef, Shehene, Boi. The purpose of creation, therefore, was to bring into existence, to create a creature, a being, that will benefit, that will get pleasure from God's own absolute goodness, to the extent that that's possible. Meaning we are all created in the world, the whole purpose of this entire world. And we're going to see, what does a rock have to do with this purpose? What does a tree have to do with this purpose? Don't worry, it's all part of the formula. It's not an easy thing to just make creatures that can connect to God. There's a whole system over here, how it happens. But right now we know that the purpose of creation is for God to give of his own absolute good to creatures to the extent that it's possible for finite beings to benefit from that good. And this good, obviously, is much greater, not only greater, quantitatively, it's not only greater, it's not even possible to compare them, to say, Olam Hazeh is great, and Hashem's goodness is greater. It's not even appropriate language to use. You know, the Yismach Moshe has a vort when it says in the pasuk, "Al toimeh sheyomim harishonim hayu toivim miyele, shloimeh chachmos choshal talzeh." Don't say that the previous days were better than these days, because you're not really thinking about it once you say it. Shloimeh chachmos choshal talzeh. Yismach Moshe says the pshat is that of course the previous days were better than these days, but they were so much better that they're not even comparable. As you can say that gold is better than silver, but to say that gold is better than dirt, what kind of person would even express such a thought? So to say, it's true they were better, but don't say it like that, because it means that you're comparing two things, and you're saying, okay, they're both goods, but the early days were better. You can't even say they're both good once you compare them. If you think about it, it's not even two comparable things. It's mamash apples and oranges. The goodness is so different between now and the previous days that you can't even use the description that these days are better. So too, the perfection, the pleasure, the goodness that God intends to bestow upon his creatures is so different, so much greater, so much better than any pleasure or perfection or goodness that we could imagine. They're not even comparable It's not even, you can't even say this is just better than that. V'ulam gozra chochmosoy ois beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom decreed. Shelihiyois hatoif sholem. Roshiyihiyah haneheneboy bal hatoif hahu. The only way this is going to happen, God decreed, that for a person to enjoy the goodness that we're describing, the person has to own that goodness. It cannot be just thrown at him. Perush meaning, Mishiyikne hatoiv ba'atzmoy, v'loy mishiyisla v'loy hatoiv b'derech mikre. This goodness cannot be given to him just as like a loan or just as through circumstances. Happens to be that this person benefits from God's good. Now we know that the big difference between something be'etzem and something b'mikra, something that's real and something that's circumstantial, and we learned this already, is that something that's circumstantial isn't part of the essence of the thing. It's accidentally or as a happenstance super added to the thing. So that if we were just, God would say, okay, you know what? Here's the goodness. Here's the benefit. Here's the pleasure. That pleasure has nothing to do with you. It's circumstantially yours. God decreed that if you really want to benefit from this pleasure is not like a good cup of coffee. This pleasure is not like a fancy car that you happen to have it. This pleasure is God pleasure. This pleasure is intrinsic absolute pleasure, and if you want to benefit from it, it has to be yours. It has to be intrinsically yours to the extent that's possible. So the first question we're going to ask when we hear that God wants to give people this pleasure, okay, why doesn't he just give it to them? Here's your creations, here's the pleasure, enjoy. The answer is because that would defeat the purpose. This pleasure is a special type of pleasure which can only be enjoyed if it's intrinsically part of the person enjoying it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a God pleasure. It would be circumstantial pleasure. And nothing about God is circumstantial. The God perfection, the God pleasure, and God's essence are the same. Because everything about God is His essence. And so if you want to enjoy this God pleasure, you don't enjoy it in the same way that you enjoy a materialistic pleasure. Materialistic pleasure you enjoy if it's part of your, if it's just circumstantially yours. You happen to have this car, I don't happen to have this car. You enjoy it therefore and I don't. Not good enough. This pleasure has to be intrinsically yours, belong to you, as close to your essence as possible. And how do you do it? We'll see in a moment. But by having this pleasure earned by the benefactor, by the beneficiary, excuse me, tirish is a nikrik tzasis damnus, his damus, b'shir she'efshir, el shleimuso yizbaruch shemoy. That accomplishes that it's similar to the God pleasure. We want the finite being to hook into this God pleasure as much as possible. And we say as much as possible, it's all or nothing. You either do it as much as possible or you're not doing it. And so God can't just give it to you as a gift. Giving it to you as a gift means it's yours in the sense that nobody else can steal it, but you didn't earn it. It's not part of you. It's not intrinsically yours. So the first thing is you have to earn it. The reason you have to earn it is because just like this pleasure is intrinsically part of God's essence, and when I say part, I put that word in quotation marks, not really part, so too it has to be part of your essence. Not just given to you, not just granted, not just under circumstance. It has to be something that you deserve. Something that you earned. Not just happens to accidentally be in your possession. Accident, happenstance, when we're talking about God, has no place. Only absolute, intrinsic, essential. And so this pleasure has to be yours absolutely, intrinsically, essentially. As a finite being, the best way to do that, or the closest you can get to that, is by earning it, so that it really belongs to you. It's part of you, it's yours. You deserve it. God is perfect, is complete in his essence and not by circumstances. It's not that God happens to be perfect. God and perfection are the exact same thing. A perfect God, the phrase a perfect God is redundant. An imperfect God is an oxymoron. God is perfection. It's not part of his, it is his essence. And the fact that all imperfections are absent from God is not because they happen to be absent, but because that's the essence of God, perfection, the absence of all imperfections. Nobody else can have this intrinsic absoluteness to him, right? You can only have one God. To have a being whose essence intrinsically demands that he has to be perfect, that's not possible except in God. In a perfect being, any other perfect being just happens to be perfect, whatever perfect means. But he doesn't have to be perfect, could have not been perfect. God is the only possible being that could be intrinsically perfect, that has to be perfect. Ach, lehizdamus lezeh b'miktsas, but to come close to this, to be similar to this a bit, tzorich, he needs, shel epochois, at the very least, yehu ha-koine ha-shlemus, shein ha-mitas inyone machriach loy, v'yehu madim miatzmoy ha-chasroinus, shehoyu efshoriyim boy. Even though it's possible you could have been imperfect, and you could have not had this shlemus, but if you earn it, if you deserve it, then justice demands that you should have it. So there are three levels. There's God level, that God's essence intrinsically demands that he is perfect. There's the circumstantial level, that you happen to be perfect by accident, by happenstance, by circumstance. You're born that way. You're born perfect. Or somebody gave you perfection as a present. You happen to have perfection. Then there's an in-between level, where you should have perfection, where according to justice and mishpat and yosher, you must have the perfection. That's if you earn it. Because if you earned it and you don't get it, that's unjust. Through Midas Hadin, you create within you, you create as part of you, something that should and must be there, because you earned it. Once you earned it, you must have it. If you don't have it, that's an injustice. So assuming the world works, al pi derech ha-emes, if you earn something, you must have it. Now, God must have his perfection, or must be perfect even without earning it. Somebody doesn't earn it, you can't even say he must have it. Here, you, through circumstances, you circumstantially must have it, because you earned it. So at least that's a bit similar to God. The more you must have this, the more it belongs to you, al pi yosher, the closer you are to God. Because God must have his perfection by his very own essence. Human beings who earn it must have the perfection, at least by circumstance, by their own work, by yosher, by mishpat, by the rules of justice, by the rules of emes, by the rules of God. Somebody who didn't earn it doesn't have to have it at all. So in order for a finite being to get as similar to God as possible, to have this perfection in the most similar way to God's having it as possible, he has to earn it. You can't just happen to have it. you have to put yourself in a situation, or we have to put you in a situation, where you should have it. It's just for you to have it. You must have it. And that's by earning it. V'al kein, and therefore, gozar, God decreed, v'sider, and he arranged, sheyivru inyonei shleimus v'inyonei chisorin, that there should be the concept of perfection and the concept of imperfection. And he's going to create a creature that is possible for him to have perfection and imperfection. Objectively, a 50-50 chance. Because if there's no possibility of failure, then there's no concept of success. If there's no possibility of imperfection, then you didn't really earn it. In order for the good that you're going to gain to be God type good, you have to earn it. And you have to deserve it. It has to be something that al pi yosher must be yours, should be yours. And in order for that to happen, that can only happen if you have an opportunity to fail. Earning something by definition means you could have failed, you could have not earned it, but you did earn it. If you could not have not earned it, if there was no option of not having it, then that's not considered earning it. That's not considered justice demands you have it. Because not justice. The guy can sleep a whole day, and no matter what he does, there is no option of him failing. Then there's no justice that says he must have something. Only if he could have failed and instead succeeded, then you can say that justice demands he gets what he gets. So God had to create a situation where it's possible for a person to fail, where it's possible for a person to be imperfect and inadequate. It's possible for a person to be bad as opposed to good. Because if it's not possible to be bad, then the fact that you're good does not earn you anything. If God would allow people to be good without the ability to be bad, then the fact that they're good is only circumstantial. It's not intrinsic, it's not theirs. They don't must have good, they don't must be good. It doesn't belong to them. Only if you earned it, then it's called that the good is yours. Similar to the God good. The Yutnu Labriya, also necessary for this end, to this end, is that you have to provide this creature with emtsoyim, with tools, she'al yodom tikne liatzmas hashlemus, that he could earn for himself this perfection, v'sa'adir mimeno es hachesreinus, and he could avoid the imperfection. Va'oz, and then, yikore sheniz damso b'mashahoyo efshalo l'boira. And then it's considered as if he's similar to the maximum extent possible to his creator. V'tihiyeh ru'uyo l'dovek boy, and he will be then worthy of connecting to God, v'lehenos b'tuvoy, and to derive pleasure from God's goodness. So here's the formula we have. A, God is good, he's perfectly good. B, God wants, being perfectly good, God decides that he wants to bestow good upon others. But what that means is, he wants to bestow the only real good in the world, the goodness that he has. And when I say he has, I don't mean that literally. What the goodness that he is. We have a problem now. How can you bestow the goodness that God is on somebody else if the other person isn't God? And you can't have another God. The answer is, you can't. And the maximum that you can do, if God wants to benefit others, by definition, those others will not be God. And the maximum benefit that those people can get is to connect, to hook up to God, to become part of Him, so to speak, so that they could, to whatever extent possible, enjoy God's goodness itself. Now, in order to do that, this goodness cannot be circumstantial when these people enjoy it. Because if it's circumstantial, then it's not God's goodness. In order for it to not to be circumstantial, they have to earn it. Because then they must have it. It's that in-between level. In order for them to earn it, they have to have an opportunity to fail. So therefore, God says, I have to create creatures that are destined, whose goal is to earn goodness, for them to be able to connect to me, to connect to God. And I have to be able to create a situation where it's possible for them to fail. And I have to give them the tools to be able to earn the goodness and avoid the bad, avoid the imperfection. And we see what's coming. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore has to create human beings. He has to create a world. That's the tool. The world, the whole world is going to be the tool for us to get perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the mitzvahs, the Torah. That's a tool for us to get perfection. And the goal is to connect to God. The purpose of this world is for us to connect to God. Now you may say, I connect to God, that is colloquially referred to as Olam Haba. The purpose of creation is for Olam Haba. Now he said, the Ramchal Shita in Olam Haba means, it means Yimayis HaMashiach. The purpose of the world is so that when Mashiach comes, we will all be able to connect to Hashem and benefit from God's perfection. So now the question is, why do we have to have Golus? Why do we have to have Olam Hazeh? Why do we have to have all this materialism? Why can't God just put us in Gan Eden? The answer is because that would be defeating the purpose. Because if God would just put us in Gan Eden, that would be circumstantial. It wouldn't be God goodness. Putting us in Gan Eden, giving us Gan Eden as a gift is an oxymoron. Gan Eden means God's goodness. God's goodness is intrinsic. So at the statement, when you say giving us Gan Eden as a gift, what it means when you define all the terms is having intrinsic perfection in a circumstantial way. It's an oxymoron. Can't happen. I remember we said several times that when learning these inyanim, we're going to learn about many things that cannot happen, such as God creating a rock too heavy for him to lift. And in all of those cases, the reason it cannot happen is because the concept does not exist. Not because, chas v'sholem, God is incapable, but rather because the concept does not exist. The concept of godly perfection being bestowed in a circumstantial way is an oxymoron. Because if it's bestowed in a circumstantial way, then it's not God perfection. Even if it's earned, it's not mamish God perfection, but it's as close as possible. And that was God's desire, that we get as close as possible to Him. At the very least, it should be similar to God's perfection in the sense that just like God's perfection is intrinsic, more than part of Him, it's Him. God must be perfect. In some sense, human beings must have the perfection. If I give you a gift, you don't must have it. If you earn it, then in a sense you must have it. You have to be the Baal of the goodness, just like God is the Baal, the owner, Kaviyochel of His. He's more than the owner. That's His essence. But at least you should be the owner. That's as close, as essential as you're going to get. And there's nothing more that could be done. Anything more than earning it, if God would, the next step above earning it is that it should be essentially part of you the way it is essentially part of God, and that's impossible. That's absurd, because that would entail additional gods. There's only one entity in the world. It can only be one entity in the world whose perfection is intrinsically, essentially part of him. That God could not do. God cannot make other gods. Because, again, it's an oxymoron. It's just words. It's a meaningless thing. Like, God can't make a Mixius Pitlick. What's a Mixius Pitlick? There's no such thing. There's no such thing. So if there's no such thing, so it's not a chesorin chas v'sholem in God that he can't do it. Can't do it? I can't do it. There's no it to do. When you say God can't do it, not because there's something God can't, because there's no it. God can't do nothing. There's nothing God can't do. That's true. There's nothing God can't do. And creating an oxymoron, something that you could just put together words and make sounds and make an illusion as if those sounds have meaning, that they convey a message, but really they don't convey a message, don't blame it on God. You know, go get a better dictionary. Go take speech. Go take idea. Go take a course in how to make sense. So for God to make other gods, that's absurd notion. That cannot happen. It's an oxymoron. It's absurd. So if God can't make other gods, then the only possible way, the maximum that a person could benefit, could gain the God pleasure, the perfection that intrinsically, essentially is Hashem, is that it shouldn't be essentially you, because then you'd be God, but it should essentially belong to you. Not circumstantially belong to you. If we given as a gift, it would circumstantially belong to you. If you earn it, it essentially belongs to you. It's just that you have it. It is yours. Not by circumstance, it is yours essentially. And therefore, the only way it is possible to be yours essentially is if you earn it. The only way you can earn it is if it's possible for you to mess up. So obviously what's happening here is God created the whole world. He couldn't just put us in Gan Eden. Couldn't happen. Because if you get put there as a gift, it's not Gan Eden. It's a cup of coffee. It's not Gan Eden because it's not essentially yours. And since God can't put us there, I mean, he could, but it wouldn't fulfill God's desire. God's desire is to give us good, not to give us materialistic, illusory good, relative good. It's to give us absolute good. And if God wants to give us absolute good, the only way to do it, to give us absolute good, is not to put us there, because then it's not absolute good anymore, because it's not intrinsic. The only way to do it is to create a whole world, full-blown world, give us the Torah, give us mitzvahs, give us an opportunity to gain, give us an opportunity to lose. And whoever gains gets the perfection. That's the reason God created the world. That's the reason. All of the world was only created in order for us to go to Olam Haba. Without the world, you couldn't go to Olam Haba. People don't understand this. People think that God created the world, and now that he created the world, the Torah gives us maybe a good life. It helps fix the world. The purpose of the Torah is to help the world, is to help society. The purpose of society is for us to be able to fulfill the Torah. The purpose of every tree, every blade of grass, the only reason why the grass was created was for us to fulfill the Torah. In other words, God said, okay, we have to let these people earn it. So we'll give them a Torah. Now it's a lot more complicated than this. This is step one. Why a Torah? Why 613 mitzvahs? Why these mitzvahs? Why in this way? All of this will be answered. But right now we know that the structure of this scheme is for people to earn it. So in order to earn it, God had to create a Torah. In the Torah it says, let's say, v'lakachtem lachem priyei todo, you have to take an esrog. So if you have to take an esrog, God had to create a world with esrog trees. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to have an esrog. In the Torah, there's a mitzvah, Kaveres Avicha V'Yasimecha. So God had to create people in a way that they have parents, not like amoebas. God had to create the world in a way that there's wheat, because there's a mitzvah of a matzah on Pesach. God had to create a country, Egypt, because Yitzias Mitzrayim. God looked in the Torah, His takel b'raisu bara olmo. God said, okay, this Torah is the way people earn perfection. And why? To be able to fulfill His will, and people should be able to fulfill the Torah, you need a world. So it's not that God created the Torah in order to benefit the world. God created the world in order to be able to fulfill the Torah. The whole purpose of everything in this world, when we say the purpose of the world was created Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis, Bishvil HaTorah was created for the sake of Torah. This is what it means. That this world is only, what do we need the world for? God certainly doesn't need it. What do we need it? What do we need it for? We need it because these are the tools that God gave us to earn Olam Haba. The whole purpose of the world is Olam Haba. And if you hear that it says in a Sefer that the purpose of the world is Yemos HaMashiach, this is what it means. In a nutshell, Yemos HaMashiach means Olam Haba. According to the Ramchal, according to those Rishonim, that's the Shita that we will be following. Yemos HaMashiach means Olam Haba. Olam Haba is where we benefit, the way we benefit from the perfection that is God's. In order for Olam Haba to be a reality, and in order for Olam Haba to fulfill its goal, we have to have Olam Hazeh. Because Olam Hazeh is the way you earn it. In order to have Olam Hazeh, we have to have this whole world. This whole world was created only for us to enjoy Olam Haba, because without this world there would be no Olam Hazeh, there would be no Olam Haba. And the fact that God creates the ability for people, Nebuch, to fall, to slip, to be Rishoyim even, and to go to Gehenim, is only because, if not for that option, you would never deserve Gan Eden. The only reason God created the ability for people to fall and to do Averis is because without the ability to fall, you will never, ever, ever be able to get Gan Eden. Because Gan Eden means you have to earn it. Without the opportunity to fall, you didn't earn it. Now there's another thing also. In the Sfarim it says that it's also a deterrent. The fact that God punishes and God creates the ability to fall is a deterrent to make sure people don't do it. See, because you may ask, if that's what God wants, okay, you know what? Let's play the game. Let's play a game. Let's all come to Olam Hazeh. Those that don't make it won't get anything. No, I have to have a punishment. And those that do make it will go to Gan Eden. So, because the whole purpose of the world is just the Gan Eden. It's not the Gehenim. So why make the Gehenim? There are two answers. Answer number one is it's a deterrent. Because without Gehenim, a lot less people will get Gan Eden. Because now that it's a deterrent, that's all. It wasn't created as a punishment, it was created as a deterrent. And I'll tell you even, very often we find there are different types of punishments, the Rambam writes in Mori Nevuchim. But there are certain punishments that are so clearly deterrents that the less severe the Avera, the harder the Oynish. There are different types of Oynish. Rambam writes this. But there are certain places, and if you want, there's a big Arichus in Rav Perlau in the Rasag, in the Rav Sajagoin, in Sefer HaMitzvahs. But there are certain punishments that the less severe the Avera, the greater the punishment. See, if I want to deter you from doing something, if it's a tremendous crime, I don't need a big deterrent. Let's say I tell you, you're not allowed to violate the Torah. You're not allowed to violate a deraisa. So people know they're not allowed to violate a deraisa. Now, if I tell you you're also not allowed to violate the Rabbonons, people aren't machshiv the Rabbonons as much as deraisas. for obvious reasons. They came from the Rabbanon. Even Torah said to listen to the Rabbanon. But it's still a Rabbanon. So says Rabbeinu Yoina, that's why the punishment for violating a Rabbanon is greater than the punishment of violating a Deraisa. Because people are more likely to violate Rabbanons, and as a deterrent, God wanted to make sure you don't do it, so he put a very, 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 very severe punishment, a very, very severe consequence, that's a better word, in order to deter you from violating Rabbanons. So, clearly, if a punishment is greater for a lesser crime, that's not an ex post facto punishment, but it's designed as a deterrent. And all punishment, the Shalosh says this, all punishment, Gehenim, is designed as a deterrent, meaning as an encouragement for you to go to Gan Eden. So now, God can't say, okay, you deserve to go to Gehenim, but I won't give it to you, because if we would know that, then it wouldn't be a deterrent. That's number one. Gehenim and punishment were created as a deterrent. Meaning, it's good, it's not a bad thing, because that pushes us to go to Gan Eden. The second reason is because it's designed as a, not as a punishment, but as a cleansing agent. After a person goes to Gehenim, that purification process of having a kapara, of going to Gehenim, is what allows him subsequently to enter Gan Eden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gehenim also as a tool for us to get to Gan Eden, either as a deterrent on this world or as a purification process in the next. But even Gehenim, its purpose is for us to go to Gan Eden, one way or the other, or both. The whole purpose of this world is for people to go to Gan Eden. This world is just a tool for us to get there. And since there can only be one God, that's why we have to have this world. Because we have to connect to God, not as gods, but as finite human beings. And this is the only way we can do it. Now, what comes out according to this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets Nachas Ruach from our getting reward. The more we get reward, the more Nachas Ruach Hashem gets Kaviyochol, because the whole purpose of creation is for us to get reward. Yismach Moshe says this is the Pshat Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Schar Mitzvah, getting reward for a mitzvah, mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. Because God gets Nachas Ruach from our getting reward. The more we get reward, the more Nachas Ruach Hashem gets from that. And he says, this is the Pshat. In Pasuk and Chumash. Yaakov Vinu said, Katointi mikol hachasodim and mikol ha'emes. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the chesed that you did to me, I got smaller. Hatzileni no miyarochi miyareisov. And he says, Yaakovinu vi'ato marto heitev eitev imoch. What's heitev eitev? What's the double loshen heitev eitev? So says the Yismach Moshe, heitev eitev imoch means, number one, I will do good for you, and number two, the fact that you did good for me, Hashem, is itself nachas ruach for you. Heitev eitev, like schar mitzvah mitzvah. That the heitev is itself eitev. And that's the answer, that's the response to katointi mikol hachasodim. It's not katointi mikol hachasodim. The more Hashem rewards me, the more Hashem gets nachas ruach. It's an exponential equation here. The more Hashem rewards me, the more Hashem gets nachas ruach. It's a response to katointi mikol hachasodim. Why? Because heitev eitev. Because all the good you do, Hashem, that itself gives you nachas ruach, because that's the only reason you created the world. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hareini noas kvoidecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers with the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim. that all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod in this world, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, his presence in this world, is only for us to get reward, only for us to benefit. This is Pshat. The Kuzari says, when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rav Lohoshia, Imchayim Eisim Ato, Rav Lohoshia. Rav means Hashem is great. The greatness of Hashem, of course, in this world, all His greatness, all the greatness that Hashem manifests in this world is for one reason, Lohoshia. Not Rav Lohoshia, he's not Rav Lohoshia that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves greatly, but rather Hashem's greatness is all Lohoshia. Oilam Chesed Yiboneh, the purpose of this world is for us to benefit. All that, this Yismach Moshe is very involved in this. He has numerous Perushim and numerous Psukim based on this. He also says, this is the Pshat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning wanted to create the world B'midas Hadin, at the end he ended up creating the world B'midas Harachmim. Says the Yismach Moshe, it's both are really the same. Because since the whole purpose of the world is for us to earn the good, therefore, really, the purpose of the world is for us to function by Midas Hadin. Because if it's Midas Harachamim, then it's not really such Rachamim. Because the more Hashem manifests Rachamim and gives us Rachmanus, the less the reward is worth. Because the less intrinsic it is, the less earned it is. So the world really is designed to function b'midas hadin. When it says b'tchila ola b'machshavay livrei ha'olam b'midas hadin, this is what it means. The whole purpose of the world, without midas hadin, without justice, may as well just throw us into Gan Eden. It doesn't mean that Hashem created the world so we should be punished if we deserve it. It means that Hashem created the world in such a way that whatever we earn, we need to deserve. Without midas hadin, just throw us into Gan Eden. That's all. But the answer is with midas hadin, it's a problem. Because people have a Yetzirah and it won't work. So Hashem has a balance. Through Midas HaRachmim, He keeps giving us another chance, another chance, another chance to be Zoyche B'Midas HaDin. Hashem's Rachmanus gives us an opportunity that we should be Zoyche B'Midas HaDin. So it's not that Hashem Chas V'Shalom had Charotah in what He wanted. That doesn't make any sense. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to balance both of them. Midas HaDin, because without Midas HaDin, the world's cannot function, there's no purpose, and Midas HaRachmim, because without Midas HaRachmim we won't be successful. There has to be a bit of both. Now, at this point, we need to make it clear that when we ask the question of why Hashem created the world, there are two ways to ask it. If you look closely in the Ramchal, he doesn't ask the question, why did Hashem create the world? He asks, what is the Tachlis HaBriya? The chapter in the Sefer is called B'Tachlis HaBriya, and he starts off his first sentence, Hinei HaTachlis B'Briya Hoyo. This is different than asking why Hashem created the world. We know that Hashem created the world without any motives. Hashem has no motives for doing what He does. In the sense that when a person has motives, it means that there's something that's moving him, something that he needs, something that's driving him. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He was not lacking anything at all before He created the world. He created the world completely through His Bechira. He chose to do it. The question that the Ramchal is addressing over here is a different one. What is the Tachlis of creation? Never mind what motivated Hashem to create the world. Nothing motivated Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world completely out of His free will. But the question remains, what the purpose of this creation is. So in other words, you can look at a car, and you can say, what is the purpose of this car? And you will answer that the purpose of this car is to transport people from place to place. You still didn't discuss at all what the motive of the manufacturer was for making the car. Why does the manufacturer want to transport people from place to place? Why did he choose to transport people from place to place? That's another question. But if you look at an apple tree and you say, what is the tachlis of this apple tree? And you'll say, well, it's to produce apples. That has nothing to do with the motive of the creator of the tree. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. A very complex mechanism, this world. And you look at it, and now the question is, what is the tachlis of the world? If an apple tree is here to produce apples, and a car, the tachlis is to transport people from place to place, the entire world, all of reality that was created, what's the purpose of it? This world is like one grand design, but what is the purpose of the design? What is it designed to do? That's the question that Ramchal is asking over here when he says, what's the tachlis of the Bria? We cannot say that Hashem was motivated by any particular need to create the world. Hashem has no motives in that sense. Hashem certainly has no needs. Like the Ramchal says later on, in another sefer, in Das Tvunois, he says, even though we learn from Sukkim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets nachas ruach and happiness from his creation, as it says, Yichvoid Hashem lo'olam, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asov, which means that Hashem rejoices in his deeds, nevertheless, says the Ramchal, lo'y nachshoiv mipnei zeh, let us not think because of this, that during the time that there were no creations, meaning before Hashem created the world, it's mamish not true. You should not think that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he was lacking in simcha, or he had less simcha. Elo kvar amarnu, but rather, as we stated, Ha'odoy Nizbarach Shemoy B'metziyusoy HaPoshut Ein Mokam L'Nevroyim Imoy Klal. Hashem, in his utter simplicity, has no connection at all to the creatures. The creatures, the creations of the world, cannot affect Hashem any way whatsoever. Ki Einam Shaychem B'nyonoy. But rather, Aval B'rtzoysoy Bohem, but since Hashem, in his free will, decided that he wants the creations, us, therefore, mipnei hachefetz v'haratzein hazeh nimtzoyim loy simcha kaviyochol ulechavoid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he wants the world, and in the sense that the world is a fulfillment of his desire, a euphemism, a kaviyochol way of describing quote unquote fulfillment of desire is simcha. Kivadai hachefetz hazeh hu hanoisin metzius lenemtzoyim ho'ele, Hashem's will, Hashem's desire is what gives existence to the world. V'nikra she'enoy mushlum imein metziusam naseh. And God's will is considered unfulfilled unless the world is here. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed the world. It doesn't mean that Hashem was lacking something before the world. It merely means that Hashem wanted the world and his will is only fulfilled if the world is here. If the Ramchal says it's a moshul l'mod of a doime, it's like a person makes a construction site, and he made a construction site that's empty, now he has to build buildings on it. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a desire, a choice, Hashem made a choice rather. He had a will to create the world, and now that Hashem created the world, that's like the blank construction site. Now, after Hashem decided to create the world, you need a world to be there in order to fulfill Hashem's will. So, when we ask why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the world. It wasn't that Hashem was motivated by any particular need. After Hashem chose to create the world, then you can ask, why did Hashem choose to create, what is the purpose of the world that Hashem chose to create? When you say Hashem chose to create the world, what exactly did he choose to do? He chose to create mountains and valleys and apple trees for what? What do these things do? What exactly is the pshat in Hashem's choice? So even when the Ramchal asks the question in a different way, here he discusses Tachlis HaBriya, but he discusses this question in other places as well. And elsewhere he words it differently. For instance, in Das Tfunos at the beginning, he asks the question outright, Lomo rotzo haboire baruchu livroi hanivroyim. Why did Hashem want to create creations? Why did Hashem desire a creation? Why? What is the reason? Lomo, why did Hashem want this? And the Ramchal answers, Ki akel yizborach shmoi hu tachlis hatoy vadai. Since Hashem is good, He's the epitome of good, He's the essence of good, He's the only good. Va'omnom mechoy katoiv hu lehetiv. It is within the nature, or it's within the essence, or it's within the it's part of being good, is to do good to others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to do good to the creatures. Ki im ein mekabel hatoiv ein hatovo. If there's nobody to be good to, there is no good being done. Now, this Chas V'Shalom, again, is not a stira to what the Ramchal said before, that before the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't lacking any simcha or kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not lacking... HaKadosh Baruch Hu was previously lacking nothing. So, let's ask a question. If the Ramchal says that Michoy Katoiv Hu Lehetiv, that means that before Hashem created the world, that means Hashem was lacking something, that means Hashem needed to create the world in order to fulfill His own choik, His own essence. The answer is that's not the way it works. When we say that Michoy Katoiv Hu Lehetiv, that it's within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, or within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nature, Kaviyochel, to do good, we don't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to do good. On the contrary, we mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world out of His own free will, not because of any satisfaction that He derives from the creation, but rather in order to do good to others. You see, we ask this question because when we do good, when we do something, we are motivated by self-interest. Even if a person does a mitzvah l'shem shemayim, it's because he needs to do the mitzvah. He wants to do the mitzvah. It does something for him to do the mitzvah. He gets a feeling of love for Hashem. He fulfills his feeling of love for Hashem. He has a burning desire to do the mitzvah. And it's a fulfillment of the desire, even if the desire is not selfish, but it's his desire. A person selflessly desires to do mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire is not the same as a person's desire. Remember what we learned, that whenever we use a word or an adjective to describe Hashem Kaviyochol, it's only a Loshen Mushol. So when the Ramchal writes, Lama Rotza HaBorei Baruch Hu Livrei HaNevroim, why did he want to create the world? And he says, Mechoy Katoiv Lihiyois Meitiv, that it's amongst the nature of a Toiv to do good, it's also a Loshen Mushol, Mechoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a paradoxical concept in a way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world not because of any fulfillment or any satisfaction that he gets from it, but rather completely in order to do good for others. Why Hashem wanted to do good for others? That would be the question. What is the motive of Hashem? The answer is because Hashem is, it's good. Hashem is good. But that's not answering what Hashem's motive was. Why does Hashem want to do good? We know that Hashem is the essence of good. And we know that part of being good is a rotzoin kaviyochol to do good for others. Why is that true? What is the essence of good? What does Hashem gain by doing good for others? Why does Hashem want to do good for others? That we don't have an answer for. That's Hashem's bechira. Hashem chooses to do it on His own. But the question is, when we ask why did Hashem want to create the world, we mean, even though we know Hashem has no motive for creating the world, what's pshat in Hashem's choice to create the world? There's no motive, but there's a reason. What's the reason, not what's the motive? So if you find in a sefer, for instance, like the Amunas Vedeis of Rav Sadia Gaon, a question, what is the Siba that Hashem created the world? You'll find three answers. Answer number one, Hashem created it without a Siba. He just created it for no reason at all. And Hashem can do this. Hashem is not like a human being who, if he creates something without a reason, that means that the thing he created was useless. It was levatola. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates things, and they're not levatola. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like a human being. The second answer he gives is because Hashem wanted to demonstrate his greatness to others. As it says, Lohaydiya Livnei Ha'odam Gvuroisov. The third answer is because Hashem wanted to do good to the creatures. Hashem wanted that through the creatures, the creations, listening to Him, listening to Hashem, they're going to benefit by it. Now, these three answers aren't really contradicting each other. They're not three opposing answers. We know. Now, this doesn't mean that this was Hashem's motive for creating the world. It was Hashem's choice. Hashem chose to reveal His greatness to the creations, or Hashem chose to do good to creations. What motivated Hashem to do good? Why Hashem wants to be mative? That we don't know. Even when the Ramchal says it's because God is good, therefore He wants to be mative, that doesn't explain why Hashem wants to be mative. It doesn't, chas v'sholem, mean that if Hashem wouldn't create the world, He'd be lacking in anything. We don't know why it is mechoy katoiv lehetiv. We don't know what's motivating. We're not asking the motivation for why Hashem created the world. We're asking the reason for the world. Whatever motivated Hashem, and we know nothing motivated Hashem. The result of Hashem's choice was to create a world. What exactly is pshat in what Hashem chose? Now, this teretz of Hashem creating the world in order to do good for to His creatures is usually said, bekitzer, in another fashion. And the Ramchal in Das Tfunois says it in that shortened way. Says the Ramchal, Omnom kedei shetiyeh ha'tova ha'tova shleima, in order for the good to be complete that Hashem wants to bestow, yoda bechochmosay nisgava hakadosh baruch hu nu shiroi shiyu hamakablam oisa makablam oisa biyegia kapam, that in order for the creations need to be able to accept the good through the work of their hands. They need to earn it. Ki oz yihyu heim balei hatov hahu, they will be the owners of this good. V'lo yishol lehem boishes ponim bekablam hatov, they will not be embarrassed by taking the goodness. K'misha mekabel tzedaka miyachel, like somebody that accepts charity from somebody else. V'al zeh omru, this is like it says in the Yushalmi, man da'ochel delav dilei bohes listakule ba'ape. Somebody who takes tzedakah from somebody else, someone who eats food that's not his own, is embarrassed to look at the person that gave him the food. He's embarrassed to look at his benefactor. And in order for the creations not to be embarrassed to face Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way for them to be able to earn it. And this vort that I could of Na'amod Kisufa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order that we should not be eating food that embarrasses us, Yismach Moshe brings in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh. Ki benamo de kisufum is bayish lemachme ampin apin biapin. If a person eats tzedakah, he's embarrassed to look in the face of his benefactor. Now, this is a bit different. It's a different angle than what the Ramchal is saying here in Derech Hashem. In Derech Hashem, he doesn't mention a word about embarrassment. Instead, the Ramchal mentions the fact that by earning your Olam Haba, it's a more valid Olam Haba. It's more similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And really, it's the same thing. They're the same thought, it's the same idea, explained in two different ways. Because one can ask on this reason that's given of Namad Kisufa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way for us to earn schar, because otherwise we'd be embarrassed. That let HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world in a way that we wouldn't be embarrassed. Hashem can give us a shot of Novocaine, or really an immunity to embarrassment, to the pain of embarrassment, to the humiliation, and then there wouldn't be a reason for the world. Let Hashem put us in Gan Eden. It's the nature of people that when they receive a gift, they're embarrassed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make people with a different nature. They wouldn't be embarrassed. The answer to this is, first of all, it's not merely the nature of a person that he's embarrassed. And we're not talking about merely the pain of embarrassment. We're talking about the imperfection of the gift of taking something that's not yours. It's not merely a human trait to be embarrassed to take tzedakah. It's a trait of justice that lefum tzara agra, that if somebody earns something, he deserves more than somebody that doesn't earn it. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give ultimate perfection, the highest perfection, the perfection that he himself represents, to the extent that that's possible, it has to be the maximum. There's no such thing as partial hatova here. Hashem wanted to give everybody maximum hatova. And imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us a matana, Olam Haba, and he would give us a shot of Novocaine so that we're not embarrassed. Somebody will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tain Hashem. If I would have earned it, I would be able to get more than this. So you'll say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him that much more as a matana. But that doesn't work. Because whatever you give as a matana, it's still not as much as you deserve if you earned it. It's unjust that somebody who doesn't earn something and somebody who does earn something should get the same thing, because then somebody that earns it worked levatola. So if you're going to give the maximum benefit that's possible to give, it has to be benefit that's earned. When we say that a person's embarrassed to look in the face of somebody, it doesn't mean that that's like a human trait, like if somebody sees you with your hair uncombed, so you're going to be embarrassed. That's not what it means. It means that there's an imperfection in the enjoyment of the gift, because you know that you received the gift not in a completely just manner. So, Mamon of Shach, if Hashem would give a gift, a small gift, meaning not the maximum enjoyment, so then that doesn't fulfill Hashem's will. If Hashem would give the maximum enjoyment as a gift, that would be an oxymoron. If you can't give somebody the maximum enjoyment as a gift, because if it's a gift, then it's not maximum enjoyment, because it's within the rules of tzedek and yosher that whatever you get as a gift, if you earn it, you deserve even more. The embarrassment over here is a feeling, an awareness rather than a feeling. It's an awareness of an imperfection in the gift that you're getting. And so the Ramchal, this is his derech, he explains the same concept very often. He explains the same concept in different places, in different of his sforim, and very often he's going to explain that same concept on different levels. Here he explains the concept of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in two different ways, but they're really totally zebezeh. And based on this yisoid of Nama de Kisufa, the Nama de Kisufa Mizbayish Lamechmei Apin Ba'apin, the Yismach Moshe in Parshas Chayisor explains the posuk Ani Batzedek Echze Ponecho. The Loshen Echze Ponecho I will see your face is a reference to the principle that the Zohar says and the Yerushalmi says, that if a person accepts tzedakah, he's embarrassed to look in the face of his benefactor. But since we work for our mitzvahs, the tzaddik is zoicha to his mitzvahs through his yegiyah, therefore it's justice, ani batzedek ech zeponecho, I'm going to see your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel, in a just fashion, as opposed to na'amo dekisufa. And he says it's mida keneged mida. Because if a person sees the world through the eyes of Yichud Hashem, if a person sees the world as Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, a person walks down the street always cognizant of the fact that the world is Molei Kol Haaretz Kvoidoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in front of him. If in Olam HaZeh a person is constantly aware of Hashem, he will thereby have earned the ability to see Hashem in Olam Haba as well. Because if Mida Keneged Mida, if a person in Olam HaZeh does not see Hashem, the Gan Eden that he would get would be Na'amo Dekisufo. Because it's unearned. If a person, however, earns his Olam Haba in this world by facing Hashem kaviyochel in this world, by looking in Hashem's face kaviyochel, by shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit, by seeing Hashem in everything, then he will be zoich in Olam Haba also, ani betzedek ech zeponecho, mida keneged mida, as a response to shivisi Hashem lenegdi somit. Now the Ramchal continues to explain that the earning of Olam Haba is different than the earning of other rewards. Normally, when you earn a reward, the way it works is a cause and effect process. You do something for me. Let's say I tell you, I want you to go to the store and get me something. You go to the store, you get me something, and as a reward, I give you something else. It's a two-step process. You do something, and as a reward, I give you something. But the reward really is not directly connected to the act that you did. It's a response to the act on my part. And even if I reward you mida keneged mida, that's kind of poetic justice. So in some poetic way, it represents what you did. It represents the act that you did. It relates to what you did. You're always reminded of what you did because of the mida keneged mida. Maybe I gave you a reward that mimics in some poetic way the particular good acts that you did for me. But nevertheless, it's a two-step process. The act itself leads to the reward. However, by doing Torah and mitzvahs, it's not that way. It's that way also. You get a reward, but it's more. The reward that we get for the mitzvahs is a connection to Hashem. Hashem, the Rotzo in Hashem, when you're connected to Hashem, when you're connected to the Rotzo in Hashem, that's the reward. Therefore, when you do mitzvahs, and you fulfill the Rotzo in Hashem, and you're connected to the Rotzo in Hashem, it's not merely a two-step process that first you do something and then Hashem gives you the reward. As you connect yourself to the Rotzon Hashem, as you fulfill the Rotzon Hashem, that itself connects you to Hashem. That itself is the reward. It's not like you're earning reward. It's like Hashem gives you a smorgasbord, kaviyochel, and says, okay, here are 613 things for you to do. 613 geshmaka ways to get Gan Eden. Or rather, 613 geshmaka pieces of Gan Eden. Go, take them. And every mitzvah that you do, by fulfilling Hashem's will, by doing the mitzvah, that itself is the Gan Eden. That connects you to the Ratzon Hashem, and being connected to the Ratzon Hashem is being connected to Hashem, and that is the Gan Eden. The reason why this is significant, that the earning of mitzvahs, the earning of Olam Haba should come in this fashion as opposed to a two-step process, is because this is an additional way that our Olam Haba, the reward we get for doing our mitzvahs, is similar to the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. The goodness of
doing mitzvahs, the reward needs to be intrinsic and not circumstantial, not accidental. So he said, if you would just get it as a gift, it will be circumstantial, accidental. And that's what it means, nama dekisufa, means imperfect. There would be an awareness, a cognizance of that imperfection, because it would be imperfect. Even if Hashem would numb your cognizance, it would still be imperfect. It wouldn't be the maximum. And the maximum me is the only reward that Hashem is interested in giving, because that's the only real good. That's what Hashem's choice was, to give the maximum. So if you earn it, it's more intrinsically yours, because you're deserving of it. It's mukhrich to be yours. And not only is it intrinsically yours because you earn it, but it's intrinsically yours because the earning is a direct process, not a two-step process. If you do a good deed for me and then I reward you, so you earned it, that's true, but on the other hand, the reward just happens to be the reward because of what you did. You did something and then I gave you the reward. So you deserve it, it's true, but you received it as a result of your actions. It's not your actions intrinsically. It will be more intrinsic. It will be more be'etzem yours. It will be less circumstantial if the action itself would be the pleasure. So it's not that Hashem says, go do this, and as a result I'm giving you reward. That's also true. But rather Hashem says, go take your reward. He says, Klal Yisrael, I gave you 613 rewards. The mitzvahs are the rewards. Go take the rewards. Earn them. Go do the rewards. By doing the rewards become intrinsically yours, not only because you earned them, but because they weren't earned in a two-step process. You directly connected yourself with the reward by earning it. And that's a type of schar that's more similar to the goodness of Hashem, which is intrinsically part of Him, as opposed to schar b'mikre. And now we take questions. Yes. Question. It said in the name of certain Gedolim that they objected to the idea that the reason why Hashem created this world was in order to do good. In reality, the reason Hashem created this world was just an expression of His Bechira Chofshis without any reason whatsoever. I've seen this in the name of Rav Chaim Briska, and as we stated, Rav Sadia Goin says both Teirutzim, that it was without a Siba, it was just an expression of His Bechira, and He uses the second Teirutz too, and a third as well. If the question is, as we said, what was the motive for Hashem to create the world, then we have an objectable answer. You cannot say that Hashem was motivated by any need. You can't say that Hashem had to satisfy some need within Him, that Hashem was unfulfilled or Hashem had any need whatsoever to create the world. But the Ramchal over here is medayik in his words. The question is expressed very explicitly here.